The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
The recruiting expert around 8:15, we'll be able to talk with him about some of the topics that we're going to bring up today on the recruiting side of things. We'll also get maybe some NDA playoff talk. NCAA considering changing their transfer rules, as well as some random storylines. But appreciate everybody listening in today. And, you know, by the way, Nick, me and Tommy, we had fun playing golf yesterday. It was a good time.
Just rub it in.
No, I mean, that's, yeah, of course.
That was cool. I got to hang out with Peyton Hillis, though, so I think that's a little cooler than playing golf with Tommy Kraft and John Neighbors.
Is there a story to that? Why you hung out with Peyton Hillis, or are you just name-dropping?
We're buddies. I mean,
oh, okay. I didn't know that.
No, we're actually not buddies. Oh. We both participated.
Does he know that? Does Peyton Hillis know y'all are buddies?
No.
Is he aware of this?
Not yet. We both participated in a benefit basketball game to help raise money for Bentonville Wolverines. And Peyton, the reason the Razorback basketball team hasn't made it back to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight in the Final Four is because all the best basketball players were playing football. Peyton Hillis was shooting literally from the volleyball line. And for those of you that don't know what line I'm talking about, you know where the jump ball circle is? The next line after you get out of the jump ball circle, and he was hitting nothing but the bottom of the net. Nothing but the bottom of the net. At halftime, he was shooting from half court and, like, literally just with no effort.
A couple of years ago, he was, like, a volunteer assistant or working with the Asylum Springs football team. And this was, like, right at the tail end when he was had just wound down. I think was going through some of the concussion stuff, and his NFL career was coming to a close. And he, I mean, physically was still ripped. I'm sure he still looks like he could strap it on and probably could go for a few downs right now.
Yeah, so, no,
he could probably. I say all that to say he could probably contribute in a great way to this year's football team.
Yeah. Considering
in a lot of different positions.
Yes, he could probably play
linebacker
about
might be one of them.
And this is what
fullback,
you forget.
Running back, tight end. Wide receiver.
Offensive line.
I mean, you forget.
A lot of different places he could probably help this team this year.
You forget that he led the NFL in rushing.
He was on the cover of Madden.
He led the league in rushing. And you just have to take a second to sit back and just...
You say that, and then I want
to
go
look
it up.
That.
You know?
Yes,
are
exactly.
You right? Are you
exactly.
Sure?
It's like, are you sure?
Google that.
He led the NFL in rushing. I am positive, and it's just one of those things of thinking like, hold on. So
who was hurt?
He was in the same backfield with who?
Uh-huh.
So Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis were all in the same back, and Peyton led the NFL.
Remember we were talking about that LSU game yesterday that in 06? Remember he was sitting in the stands for that one. Remember that was another big point of controversy that Peyton Hillis wasn't even dressed out for the game.
Wasn't
even dressed out for that game.
Mm. By the way, I did have to look it up because I was curious myself about Peyton Hillis in that year.
Oh, well, no. I'm being serious.
No. I believe you. No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You didn't believe him or you wouldn't have looked it up.
I wanted to see the number, though, of what it was. And yes, 2010, he had 270 carries for 1,177 yards, averaging 4.4 yards a carry, 11 touchdowns, also caught the ball for 477 yards.
That doesn't sound right. 1,100 led the league in rushing? That can't be right.
Maybe it's just a bad year for everybody.
No. I guarantee you that's not right.
Well, that's what it says, so.
Where are you on? Wikipedia?
Yeah, which is the most truthful thing of all time.
Here we go.
It's the first thing that
hit the button, crap. Next segment. John's using Wikipedia.
Yeah. No, it is crazy that you brought him up, too, because, you know, people forget, too. He was on the cover of Madden. Now, I know that's not a big deal as far as anything else goes, but for all the Razorback athletes to be on the cover. In fact, I had a friend of mine who was a walk-on on the Razorback football team.
Of all the
that
athletes, what other ones have been on the cover of Madden?
No, he's saying of all the athletes, okay. You would choose. If you're like, who do you think is going to be on Madden?
Peyton
Hillis's name would never come up.
Are there some others I missed along the way?
No. But, you know, I had a friend of mine who was a walk-on on that team, and he said, you know, as great as Darren McFadden was, he said the best football player on that team was Peyton Hillis, though.
A lot of people, will tell you the best overall football player. Because, And what they'll say is that Peyton could play every position. And I talk to Monk all the time about it, and he talks about how great Peyton was and how you could line him up at any position and right before the play say, okay, I need you to kick this defensive end out. Or if he's on the offensive line, I need you to get to the second level and block this linebacker. Or at receiver, I need you to do this. Or at fullback, I need you to do this. And they said, or you could line up in the Wildcat at quarterback. It did not matter. He was as good as anybody on the team at every position.
First time I ever saw Peyton Hillis play was in a jamboree at Gerald Williams Bulldog Stadium. August, hot. And they had like Conway and Springdale and Fort Smith Southside and one other team there. I mean, this is before Harbor ever existed. And they give him just a simple little toss sweep left, open boundary, head and left. And the defensive end steps up, and he just runs right through him like he in there. I mean, just crushes him like a beer can on the parking lot. Just boom. Then the linebacker steps up, and he runs right through him. And then the corner steps up. Boom, pancakes him. And the safety says, ole, you know.
I'm out of here.
He absolutely ran through three guys in about 20 yards. I'm like, whoa.
Even as a true freshman at Arkansas, you remember against Texas at home. Now, obviously, Arkansas lost that game in a close one, 22-20. But as a true freshman, I remember he straight hurdled a guy, like jumped over him, a Texas defender. And, you know, I know that we've gotten off on Peyton Hillis, but, man, this is – he was one of those players that it's just like, man, you felt like he could have been a lot if it wasn't for being with McFadden and Jones and being in the mix, which he was a great player for him. And you just wonder if he was the featured guy on the team.
At any other time, he would have been.
Right. And it's just, you know, man, what could have been? And if you hear the stories, and of course you remember the thing of him, what was it? He was pulling a truck as his workout down there in high school at Conway. He was pulling his own truck down the road. That was his workout.
You don't do that?
I haven't tried
it. You don't do that, Nick?
I probably wouldn't be able to.
I've never been able to pull a truck.
I mean, I don't feel like I have the need to pull a truck. I don't think that's a good workout for me, at least right now. Maybe if I was a football player, that would be helpful. But
I haven't.
It's good for the hamstrings.
Yeah, I haven't maxed out on the free weights yet. So no.
Yeah, maybe
there's no pulling truck.
You know, well, you guys remember when the guys did the challenge of the 40 time? Maybe that's what we should do is, you know, do the challenge of pulling a vehicle. See how what our 40 time would be when we're pulling a truck.
That'll last all of about 0 seconds.
You could probably, as long as you get it moving.
I couldn't pull a truck if it was in drive.
Oh,
but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Peyton was there. A bunch of other Razorbacks or former Razorbacks were also there. And yeah, it was a lot of former football players that can really, really are that are really, really good at basketball too.
I'd like to get him on the show at some point, Peyton Hillis, and just
yeah,
talk
he
to
actually
him about stuff.
I was talking to him. He moved back up here just here recently and. He's living in town, and yeah, so interesting guy, has a lot of knowledge, been around the NFL for a while, and he's definitely a character, I can say that.
Yeah, he's a personality, no doubt about it, but no, that'd be fascinating to have, and it just, again, goes back, maybe we could go over what could have been, also not only with him, but with those teams, too. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of great running back duos. Then college football, you know, you even think of Reggie Bush and Lindale White, you know, guys like that.
The best one.
You have the best duo. Well, I mean, that's who I think of when I think of the best running back duo.
Okay, I was just trying to make sure.
No. Yeah, that's what I mean, because they were just unbelievable on that team.
Yeah.
But how many teams had three running backs like that?
Yeah, but see, now, only in saying that, though, Peyton, it was one of those that, and this is what we do a lot. We can't take his NFL career or that he led the NFL in rushing and input that in college. Because in college, he was never the primary ball carrier. Like, he had a couple of games where he went over 100 yards and they gave him a bunch of touches. But mainly, though, it was the duo, of course, of Jones and McFadden.
Yeah, and he had some injuries that he had to battle into, because I was even looking at stats. He only had 13 carries in 2006, that one year. So, I mean, it had a lot to do with injuries and all that. But just the talent-wise, yeah, having those three running backs
back
there.
You remember, he was on punt return.
He was, yeah, he was a punt.
He returned. Like
punt
he,
return,
he
re- yeah.
And I could never figure it out because at the time, of course, I wasn't in the media. I wasn't even in school. I was in high school. And I used to look at the TV and be like, hold on. Houston Nutt has all these different guys, and you put Peyton Hillis back there? Mm-hmm. And then when I got to campus, I was talking about it one day, and I was like, yeah, Houston Nutt, the idiot, he put Peyton Hillis back there. And somebody who was on that team actually stopped me, and they were like, no, but what you don't understand is he probably was the best at that as well. Like, he's going to for sure catch it. He was
Reggie
quick.
Fish.
He was yeah. fast.
Reggie Fish.
Yeah. All those different things.
Yeah,
so,
remember yeah. that yeah, that 06 thing. It all comes back.
Yeah.
It all ties together. 06, SEC championship game. You have Peyton Hillis back there. Apparently, if he was in the stands at the LSU game, should have at least brought him down there for that one game in the SEC championship and had him at least for that one play. Who knows what would have happened. But interesting combo. I'm glad you brought up Peyton Hillis. Haven't been able to talk about Peyton Hillis in a while.
Yeah, I knew I was going to hijack this morning's segment. So you're welcome.
That's okay. Well, you got your
You're welcome. The people,
someone's
the people,
left out there, you know.
The people are welcome.
Both of them. We got your segment coming up that we'll be able to hijack too, though, if needs be.
Yeah.
If needs be. So, but we're gonna get into some John Chavis talk and react to some of the comments that he made yesterday. It's also Recruiting Thursday, so we're going to have a lot of discussions going on today, no doubt about it. And what I think is going to be interesting, too, is to talk about some of the audio from LeBron James and this whole deal with the post-game interview talking about Pop's wife when she passed away. Such a weird thing.
But this is why we need to get rid of Twitter some days. I mean, this is why Twitter is sometimes
bad.
The most awful thing in the world.
Mob mentalities. But we'll get to that and more. This is The Morning Rush.
The John and Tommy and get your voice heard. 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you today. Been talking a little bit about recruiting and maybe the overrated aspects of it, like facilities and academics. Nobody really wants to say it. You won't hear coaches say it. You won't hear recruits say it, at least not with putting their name to it. But well, I think it's something that we all understand.
No one wants to say the facilities part is overrated, and I believe it isn't really, because everybody's facilities are so good that it's just become the baseline.
Yeah.
Okay, don't go just go about 10 years and don't improve anything and see what happens. Everybody will be saying, well, I don't, you know, that locker room's terrible there, that, you know, that stay, there'll be a lot, because you can't not keep improving, because that is the whole reason you ask fans to donate. That's the whole reason you ask fans to keep giving more for tickets. That's the whole reason you motivate fans to stay involved financially with the program. Is you keep pounding the pulpit of the message. We got to keep our facilities up to date. And this recruits say facilities don't matter because everyone's facilities are good. Everything they look at's good.
And it's almost like, you know, you've seen the ridiculousness of the facilities. For instance, Alabama has a waterfall. And it always reminded me, I was like, so is Nick Saban on these recruiting trips when guys are coming in, is he dressed up as Willy Wonka? Like, you know, and is he singing the song when they walk into the weight room and they have the waterfall and they're like, what's
probably
the point?
Probably not Nick Saban.
I wouldn't think, no. But what it's like, okay.
Which is
so,
the most overblown deal, having a waterfall. That's not that big a deal.
It's not, but it was kind of the first thing when you start seeing, wow, okay, so we're real, like, pumping that up. Is like, oh, they have a waterfall in their facility, because why does a football facility need a waterfall? Well, why does a hotel need a waterfall?
Yeah, you know? I mean, there's an office building, you know, I visit, you know, a client at in Fayetteville that has a waterfall in the lobby. I mean, big deal, you know.
It was just revolutionary for the sport, though. And I think that that's what more people, they were just saying, how ridiculous is this getting? And that's, and you could say that about anything.
We're way past ridiculous on a lot of this stuff.
Right, and recruiting in general.
I mean, we got football coaches making $7.5 million at a school like Texas A&M that hasn't won anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's coaches won a little bit, but that's what we've got going on. We got a school at Texas A&M that spent what $500 million to renovate their stadium in one off season because they can. You know, and I'm not going to say what Nick Saban makes is ridiculous, because I think he's earned it. I think he's underpaid, but you got coaches making, you got a handful of coaches making in excess of $7 million a year to coach football. on the surface, that sounds ridiculous in an amateur sport.
Jim Harbaugh's another guy that's done that. But, you talk about college football, and even in the recruiting aspect, you look at signing day. You look at the things that these kids have been doing. I mean, you have videos, hype videos coming out. You got kids, you know, bringing out an alligator whenever they commit to Florida. You know, it's become almost a circus in a lot of cases. And a lot of these kids, they probably know in the back of their minds, and I don't know if it's all of them, but they probably know which school they're going to go to months in advance. But they want to have it hyped up until they get to that one day, the signing day, and they want to make a big deal and a big spectacle out of all of it. And it just seems like, if you really break it all down and look at the surface, because I understand this is where it's at, it's not going to change, but it's when you break it all down and unpack it, it's like, this is just about playing the game of football in college or playing basketball in college.
Well, and that's where I think people are missing it, though. It's not about that. It is about your individual brand. And I think people are getting caught too much into, because guys watch interviews all the time, and then they hear us talk about, okay, this is what you need to say on an interview. You need to thank God. You need to thank your teammates. You need to, or if you're getting ready to commit to the Razorbacks, all you need to do is tweet and talk about, oh, I'm Razorback for life. I'm a Hawk. Guys hear all of that and say all of those things, but coming to college, though, has turned in now into it's about your individual brand. There is a lot of LeVar Ball in a lot of us. Everybody's just scared to just go, you know, full force all out like he's done. But when kids are coming to play college football or college basketball, it is about their brand. And that's why, and then they have tens of thousands of followers on Twitter. That's why all these kids are getting on Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram saying, hey, follow me, this and that. And so, and guys are liking all of this attention, and they're playing into it because it is about their brand and how big can they build their brand up. And for a lot of these guys, though, their brand is the biggest before they actually play a college football down or play college basketball. Because how many guys do we see that have all this hype and all these followers and then just get to college and then they disappear or they just do nothing at all? So I think that that's the most important thing for a lot of high school kids is who's going to be able to take my brand to that next level.
And that's where the disconnect comes in between fans and recruits, because fans, it's about that school or about that team.
I agree.
That's it.
Yeah.
They could give two rips about your brand.
Yeah.
But then for a lot of players, not all of them, but for a lot of recruits and a lot of players, like you said, it's all about their brand.
Yeah.
Now, they're not loyal to any school. They're going to go to a school. I think a lot of it, for instance, Kentucky basketball. A lot of kids go to Kentucky basketball, not because of the great coaching that John Calipari can provide, not because of the tradition of the program. I mean, maybe that goes into some of it, but a lot of it is just to do with the fact that they have a big brand.
No, they go to Kentucky because John Calipari has a history of getting kids into the NBA quickly and making them lots of money. That's it.
But my point is that you, for someone like, say, Ben Simmons didn't go to Kentucky. He's still drafted number one overall, and he's still going to get paid. So, like, do you have to go to Kentucky?
No. And Ben Simmons is proof you don't have to win to get to the NBA.
I feel like a lot of kids, though, they see it as being a good chance to improve your brand as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, getting into the NBA is a big factor of it. Don't get me wrong.
Simmons overcame coaching. He overcame,
he overcame Johnny Jones.
He overcame poor coaching.
The worst coach.
He overcame all of that
in any
still
Power Five.
Was drafted
at any of the Power Five schools. Probably the worst coach in coaching today.
Regardless of that, somehow he still managed to overcome all of that and make millions
and
of dollars.
Yeah, and found a way. First off, Johnny Jones to even get Ben Simmons to it. But no, I've just thought. It's fascinating. You know, again, Kentucky's a good example. Let's go to the phone lines real quick.
So it's just proof you can't hide good talent.
No, not at all. It's Hogslop's on the phone line. What's going on, Hogslop?
Good morning, guys. First of all, I just want to tell Mr. Neighbors, welcome to the show. I haven't had a chance to call in.
Thank you.
Since you took over. Just wanted to say that, you know, there's no way you're going to be able to replace Mr. Ruskin, but as long as you give your honest, generalist opinion on airways and understand that the the machine on the hill provides you the material, but it's your listeners that pays the bills. I think you and the show is going to continue to do okay.
I will do my darndest. I appreciate it.
And then I'm going to change the topic on you guys a little bit because I don't really care too much about the thought process of a 17 or 18-year-old on what college they're going to go to. But I wanted to discuss the issue about Arkansas playing football, in particular down there in Little Rock. My opinion on it is that I think we should continue to play a game down there. But I would like to see us play Arkansas State down there every year. And I know that's been probably suggested many times before. And I know most.
I think you're the first one.
And I know everybody said that's not going to happen, that you know, there's no way. But, I'd like to see it happen. I'd like to see it happen in football. I'd like to see us play down there in Verizon Arena against Arkansas State in basketball. And then I don't even know if Arkansas State has a baseball team, but if they do have a baseball team, I'd like to see us play them down there in a two-game season series down there at Dickie Stephens Park.
What are you going to get out of this? I mean, what does the state get out of Arkansas playing Arkansas State? What great magical moment is going to happen?
Excitement for
what
for
excitement? What excitement's going to happen?
No Razorback fan's going to be excited for that.
What? Yeah. How
I disagree with that. And another thing too is all the revenue that's generated from the sports would stay in state.
Okay, hang on. Who cares about that part? And so on that part, appreciate the call. On that part though, and this is what, and people say this all the time about, oh well, you know, the revenue is going to stay in the state. It's going to stay in the state. Well, it's not like Arkansas State doesn't go get paid by somebody else. Right. So check this. Let's say Arkansas was going to pay them $1 million. But instead they go play Alabama and Alabama pays them $1 million. What's the difference? Like, I mean, they're still there's no difference between Arkansas writing $1 million to Arkansas State or Alabama writing $1 million to Arkansas State. Like, and so the whole argument about the money that's going to be generated, it could stay in state. Like, that's, I mean, you might as well put that to the side.
I mean, that was a double whammy. Not only did you have the great stadium debate, but then throwing it into Arkansas State too, this whole ordeal. But the thing is how I always have looked at this. The University of Arkansas gains nothing. Therefore, it will not happen as long as the University of Arkansas gains nothing. They don't get anything out of it. Doesn't financially make sense. Recruiting doesn't make sense. What excitement? What Razorback fans are like, man, I can't wait to play Arkansas State. Forget Alabama.
No Razorback fan ever.
No. No one's going to be excited about that except for state fans.
No Razorback fan, Hogslop, gets fired up to go play a Sunbelt school.
And if that's the case, that's pathetic of the Razorback fan base if you're getting excited to play a Sunbelt school.
There's no rivalry there. How can you have a rivalry for a school you've never played?
Are you losing a bunch of recruits to Arkansas State?
No.
No. You losing a lot of money? No. I don't get this, man.
Is Arkansas football in a place right now where you could potentially lose to Arkansas State?
Yes.
Yeah, probably so. It isn't about winning and losing. There's just nothing to gain. Why would you give? This has always been a state where the Razorback program is the tie that binds. It's the program that leads. Why would you give that up? It makes zero sense. None. Now listen, in the end, the governor may be able to make you play games at War Memorial Stadium. I didn't know we were going to get off on this debate this morning.
That happens.
But I don't know that the governor in the end can or would make you ever do this, because we've had many governors before Asa Hutchinson. We'll have many after. Governor has a lot of power. I'm not sure the governors can or would ever execute that kind of power in this. It'd be politically very risky.
That'd be some balls right there.
Yeah. All right, 3 in the Lane with Nick coming up in just a moment. We may or may not continue this conversation. Hey, if you're headed to Branson this weekend, or you're headed to Branson later this spring or summer for family vacation, got a great place you need to stay. It's out in Branson West, out near Silver Dollar City. It's called Stonebridge Village. It's only 6 miles from the Country Music Boulevard there, Highway 76, and out, like I said, out by Silver Dollar City, just 3 miles from the front gates of Silver Dollar City. It's at Ledgestone. They got 18 great holes of golf, a restaurant, children's pond, bar and lounge, catch and release lake, tennis courts. I mean, everything, a business center, everything you need right there. And you're out of the hustle and bustle. You can kind of relax, a little more laid back there at Ledgestone. Night and weekly rates available. Call 800-81-STONE. That's 800-81-STONE. You might be surprised what you can stay there for compared to that crowded, cramped hotel room you've always been staying in Branson. It's Stonebridge Village, 800-81-STONE. That's 800-81-STONE for Stonebridge Village in Branson, West Missouri.
The voice of Razorback fans across Arkansas.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Call in to John and Tommy and get your voice heard. 877-377-6963. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. Tommy, how did this happen? How did we get back on
anytime,
this?
New policy. Anytime someone calls in and says, well, I want to change the topic on you,
we are
disconnect the phone.
It's not never going to end well. It's never going to end well. It's so frustrating.
I'm actually glad, though, that he called in, because I've always heard the excuse of, well, you keep the money in state because Arkansas is paying another school $500,000, and like, that's never made any sense to me at all. And we actually had a caller called in right after that and made the same point. And then I told him what I told the other guy. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I didn't think about it like that.
Time for Three in the Lane, brought to you by Razorback Camper Sales. Exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs, your place for all your travel trailer, fifth wheel, and pop-up needs, including their 27-foot Salem travel trailer with outside kitchen, slide, power jacks, power awning, and more. Just $21,990 or $226 a month right now with great financing at Razorback Camper Sales. For more than 49 years, they've been offering a no-hassle, low-pressure buying experience. Stop in today at Exit 1 off the bypass in Hot Springs, or view the inventory online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Three in the Lane with Nick Mason.
Let's actually go back to the phone lines as we have Brandon calling in to make a point, probably about Arkansas and Arkansas State playing. Go ahead, Brandon.
Nick, you always have been the smartest one on the show.
I appreciate that.
My only point of the Arkansas-Arkansas State game, I agree with everything you guys are saying, but it wouldn't it be nice just to wipe War Memorial Stadium with them one time? Just one time.
I mean,
shut them up,
but like,
and be
it's,
done with it.
Hold on. But like, it's like, hey, Dad, I just beat my little sister in an arm in an arm wrestling event. I mean, it's just one of those. It's one of those deals.
Yeah,
it's
that
like
something to brag about.
It's like, hey, when you were in 12th grade, I bet you could beat your little brother that was in the 6th grade in anything. Any.
You know my little brother, Nick.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Yeah.
You guys have a great day.
Appreciate it. See.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't. Whenever you have nothing to gain in something, I just don't see why you would do it. And not
exactly.
Only, hold on. Actually, let me go beyond that. Not only do you have nothing to gain, but you know whose fans are going to be really excited about that. You know who's going to sell a lot of sponsorships to that. You
Arkansas
know who's going to make
the only school,
they're going to make a lot more money off of it. And so it's one of those things that just doesn't help Arkansas at all. And there are other people calling in, probably trying to get to this same topic and this same debate. And just like you guys said, the first athletic director to sign up for this will be the last athletic director, because they will be replacing him ASAP. And you know, of course, we always stick to football, but I don't think they should play in any sport. And for Hawk Slop, yes, Arkansas State does have baseball as well. And I just don't see any benefit of Arkansas
Zero.
Playing Arkansas State in anything other than rugby.
They have uniforms and everything?
Uniforms for rugby?
For their baseball team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check. Yeah. I mean, they've had guys drafted. So, yeah.
Oh, man. It's just frustrating, too, because the amount of people who want this, it's just... I don't run a business. Tommy, you're a business guy. You run businesses. I mean, it does financially. That's the bottom line. That's what everybody cares about. It doesn't make sense.
It's people trying to. Here's what it is. It's you realize that the day of having more than one game at War Memorial is gone. So we'll settle for having one game a year in War Memorial, but let's make that one game really good. So it's got to be Arkansas State.
Yeah, but hold on. Who is this talking, though? The Arkansas State fan?
Because people like Hogslop. Yeah, I mean, yeah. it's the 1% of the 1%. It's no one that has any stroke, any power, no one that is in athletic administration. Now, the people in Jonesboro would love this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'd sign up yesterday for this.
For sure. You're exactly right. Let's see if Pig Suey has anything to add to this.
Hey, good morning. I'm going to defend Hogslop for just a second here. I think he's going down the road, a little bit of sarcasm, because it seems to me our program has been a program of gimmicks. I mean, if you follow the social message marketing of Uncommon, you have the, what was the other gimmick? Oh, they made such a big deal about the Dallas Cowboy Razorback uniforms. Yeah, and so if we continue to lose...
Slash Ohio State.
If we continue to lose, that may be the only gimmick left is to play Arkansas State.
Not a gimmick. It's just a bad plan. And it's
well,
you're talking about social media marketing compared to playing a game and might be losing it to an in-state team that is inferior. Like, that, those are two completely different wavelengths.
But it'd get everybody talking, and it would get
in the state.
Fired.
Nobody outside the state would give two craps. I mean, it's true.
At the end of the day, you're just playing a Sun Belt team.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all.
Well,
it is.
Yeah, but we're like counting up our Sun Belt wins. You know, that's our hope.
I can't even right now. I know Tommy is. I'm triggered.
Well,
and we were running up against a break.
Yeah, we get some breaks. So we had to put you on hold. But we'll.
I didn't hang up on you.
We'll get to this and more on the other side.
This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Three. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. Going to continue our discussions about Arkansas football, getting some baseball talk right now as we welcome in Tom Murphy, friend of the show of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate you joining us, Tom. There's a lot of things to get to, but one of the topics that we've been discussing here in the previous segment is about John Chavis in the defense and being the defensive coordinator of Arkansas. Been criticisms about him. Maybe he can't get it done. Maybe he's over the hill. Maybe he can't work out with Chad Morris and the offense that he tries to run. What do you think of those criticisms that John Chavis gets hit with, I'm sure, on a weekly basis that, you know what, he's not going to be able to get it done defensively at Arkansas?
Well, he was asked that in a, I thought, a tactful way in his opening press conference here. And the passion of his response, and I wrote about it at the time, and I'm sure you guys commented on it at the time too, was to say that, hey, I've still got the fire in me, I believe was his exact quote. I've still got the fire in me. I can still coach. I can still recruit. And I can still motivate young men. And what I've seen from the guys, and you know what? Paul Rose, I thought, related to the players, and I thought he got along with them well. It just didn't work out, and the numbers weren't very good. And I think Arkansas being thin on defense has something to do with that. But you hear Randy Ramsey talking on after the red-white game. He's like, I am finally unleashed. I mean, he's a senior, and so he's motivated. And I think these linebackers enjoy playing for John Chavis. I think he relates well to the guys. Now, I don't think Arkansas is going to be a top 40 defense next year simply because, you know, there's not enough time.
There's not the roster hasn't been overhauled. Now, I think their front line on defense is going to be okay, but they just can't. I don't think they can afford many injuries, and I do think they're going to be better. I mean, their numbers weren't very good, so I think they'll be better. But you know, John Chavis, he's done this for a long, long time, and I think he's going to get a fresh start here, and I don't know how long it's going to last. That's why he's got a unique contract with an opt-in for him, and he's not the first $1 million assistant coach at Arkansas yet. So if it goes relatively well, I expect he'll be around for another year or two.
And you talk about the numbers. That's been my argument, is you got a defense that's been in the bottom three or four of the league in most categories. If he can improve this defense to middle of the pack and the offense can pan out in the next couple of seasons to what we think it might can be, a middle-of-the-pack defense in this league along with a top three or four offense could equate to maybe not a division championship, maybe not a conference championship, but an exciting team to watch that could win, you know, 8 to 10 ball games consistently.
And I don't disagree with that at all, Tommy. In fact, you know, the best Arkansas team from the last, you know, long stretch here was that 11 team that was okay on defense. They had, you know, they got some turnovers, kept them in games, and a good, powerful offense. And that the fans were jacked up about that. And I think given a little bit of time, that could be recreated here under Chad Morse as long as they get the playmakers in and, you know, they figure it out at quarterback. So I'm with you. I don't see any way that there'll be a great defense, but I do think they're going to get more turnovers, impact the quarterback a little bit more, and you know, probably give up a few big plays too. But you know, if you just look at the individual ingredients, like at corner, I think Ryan Foley's going to be solid, and I think Chevin Callaway can be, you know, I think it could be an upgrade over a freshman Cam Curl. And then if they get the depth at safety and Buster Brown pans out and Santos is good and Curl does well at safety and the new guys like Fouché and Miles come in and have an impact, then maybe they'll be better.
You know, and I don't know how much ones-on-ones you get during the regular season once the season begins, but I got to believe practicing against a tempo spread offense, and I know this is going to be a little more smash-mouth spread and a little different other than maybe Auburn against some of the offenses you'll see around the league, but practicing against a tempo team, you know, day in, day out during the week has got to help you when you were playing you're practicing against a team that Bielema had that was anything but that, was so adverse to everything else in the league. That's going to help the defense prepare for games now that you get to practice against teams that are far more similar to what you're going to play against on Saturdays.
Nice point. That up-tempo should pay off for both sides of the ball.
They
should be ready to get lined up and take snaps quicker. I know they practiced it a lot, and they got better at it. But I agree.
Yeah. A scout team just can't cut it. You know, going against the scout team is just not the same.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, Chad Morris did not inherit a richly talented team. But I do think there's some pieces in place that they can be in games. They can win some games. And to me, it's all about creating some excitement for down the road. And Chad Morris certainly has done a lot of things from a recruiting standpoint and being out in the community that I think is going to pay dividends for him down the line.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the show. Tom, switching it up to baseball, the Razorbacks have another big SEC series this weekend, having to travel on the road down to Starkville to play Mississippi State. What are you making of this series? What do you expect? I mean, is this going to be another, if the Razorbacks do take care of business in this series, I mean, it's starting to get to the nitty-gritty. You're starting to look at maybe getting a national seed for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, it certainly could be in the forecast for Arkansas if they continue on their pace. I think the starting point for them is to win a road series in the league. And Dave Van Horn felt like they gave away one game each in the Florida and Ole Miss series. So they're out to win this one. It's not going to be easy. I mean, Mississippi State won their home series against Ole Miss a couple of weekends ago. They were rocked by, you know, Cannizzaro's firing, resignation, whatever that was, early in the season, and they haven't quite recovered, but they're still a dangerous team. And I think, you know, Blaine Knight, he'll be ready to go for the opener, and they had to overcome the adversity of losing that first game and got two shutouts beyond that. So, you know, I think that, you know, guys like Jake Reindel, who pitched very well on Tuesday, are going to help give them more options if they have to go a little bit longer with some of their relief pitching. And if Isaiah Campbell shows up, you know, they'll certainly have a chance to win the series. And if Campbell can give them some innings, that'll certainly help the pen.
It'll be a big series for him. We'll see how it plays out. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Great stuff. We'll look forward to catching up with you on Monday, my man.
It's my pleasure. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
All right. So we're going to talk about that. Also got to talk about the baseball series, too, but we'll get to that and more on the other side of the break.
The morning.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. And talk a little recruiting as we welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Joins us around this time every Thursday. Richard, really appreciate you joining us. There's a lot of things we want to get to, so let's start with the football side of things, especially defense. John Chavis was on the show with us yesterday, and he has gotten a lot of criticisms about if he's over the hill, if he's not really going to be the same defensive coordinator that we've seen in times past, if he can even still recruit. So from what you've been able to talk to with some of these recruits that Arkansas has been targeting, what do they think of John Chavis, and what's their overall assessment of what he's trying to do and their interest level in playing for him at Arkansas?
Well, most of them talk about his resume. He sent so many guys to the league, and he's had top 10 defenses in the past. I mean, obviously, Texas A&M the last year wasn't one of the better defenses, but you look at his body of work, and most kids see that and are impressed. I remember Bumper Poole, when he was being recruited by John Chavis, he told me that he was the only defensive coordinator that stayed in contact with him on a weekly basis. And he was recruited by a lot of schools, obviously. So that tells you that he understands the significance of recruiting and trying to get kids to play for him. And obviously, better players make a better defense.
Well, Richard, the Razorbacks were able to get a football commit, and I want to ask you about this guy, offensive lineman Joseph Stone. Now, they need offensive linemen in a bad way, but when you think of Chad Morris, you think of fast, 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 tempo, and this kid's 6'8", 340 pounds. When I think of fast guys, 6'8", 340 doesn't really come to mind, but it looks like he might be able to find a way to work himself into the system that Chad Morris. What is it about him, and can he fit into this high-tempo system being that size?
You know, when Coach Morris was at Clemson, they had some pretty good size offensive linemen. I think it's a misconception that the linemen are going to be, you know, maybe 300 or below. But you know, I think obviously if you want to run the ball, you still got to have a little bit of meat on the on the offensive linemen. So yeah, obviously Joseph has got the size, 6'8", 340, pretty athletic kid who moves his feet well. Will probably play guard at Arkansas. You know, he's just one of those guys. And I was just thinking about it the other day. He's got a 385 bench press, and his lower body is pretty developed too, just from the standpoint he's just very thick, and he'll just continue to get stronger. But if you think about teams that had any success with against Alabama running the ball, which very few have, you usually have guys that are just lower body and upper body strength is upper tier. And I think with Joseph, obviously at 385 going, and he's still got another year of weight training in high school, 385 bench press is on par with a lot of guys in college. So I think his overall strength and athleticism makes him a good candidate to be an SEC type offensive lineman. I know Caleb Perry, who played at Arkansas, thinks he has a chance to go to the NFL one day just because of his athleticism and his ability right now, you know, and being able to project what he's going to be like in, 4 or 5 years.
A coach that would love to sign a 6'8 kid is Mike Anderson. Any clue on what they're going to do with this last scholarship, Richard?
Well, it looks they're bringing in. Matter of fact, later this evening, they're bringing in a young man from the same junior college that Jalen Barford attended.
Motlow.
Exactly. Anyway, he's a guy that has got some athleticism. I'm talking about Rashawn Frederick, 6'6", about 198. He's down to Cincinnati and Arkansas right now, but Arkansas really likes him. You know, a lot of people have been wanting size and everything, but at the same time, I think it's best available And when you're talking about the best available, the amount, the talent pool in the spring signing period is vastly reduced from you know, obviously the early signing period. So you really go for the best available. And I think right now, Rashawn Fredericks is a guy that they obviously like, and is bringing him in for an official visit. He averaged 17.7 points a game last year. He's first-team All-American JUCO. Hit 32.3% from the three-point line, 10.3 rebounds. So obviously a lot of athleticism and you know, a lot of energy. You know, when you average 10.3 rebounds in any level, that means that you definitely play at a high tempo, high energy level. So it sounds like he's a guy that obviously would fit into Coach Anderson's system.
I know you got a chance to see a lot of the younger guys, Chris Moore, Moses Moody, just to mention a few, this past weekend in Bentonville. What did you think about those guys?
You know, I wasn't able to see Chris, and I wasn't able to see Moses. But I tell you, one guy really, really, well, several caught my eye. Caleb London from Conway for Woods Elite really impressed me. I saw him last summer in Vegas, and he has really changed his body. He's gone from like 6'2", 163 to 6'4", 187, and he's really toned up. Very mature, body right now, and it just continue to impress me the way he attacks the basket, and just he's very solid in all parts of his game. I wouldn't say he's great in anything, but he's very solid. And then another guy, Malik Wilson, is another guy that impressed me for the 17 and under Woods Elite team. He's a guy that really can play in one or two. I think mostly most schools are looking at him as a two. He had a good tournament at the warm up, and those are just a couple guys that really caught my attention. But I like Moses Moody. I've seen him play in the past, and same for Chris Moore.
Real quick, Richard, got about 30 seconds on Recruiting Thursday. What you got going on the show tonight?
Mason Jones, Arkansas basketball signee, and then Trevor Roberson, who officially visited Arkansas over the weekend, and also Bo Limmer and Joseph Stone, the newest Arkansas Razorback football commitment.
So you can catch it all on Recruiting Thursday tonight. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Great stuff as always, Richard. Looking forward to catching up with you next week, my man.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
All right, that is Richard Davenport, and we'll get to more of the Morning Rush on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.